The Liz Callaway Show with Nick Summers, featuring Breitbart Talks on Talk 94.5.
That's right, and joining us right now is Kurt Zindulka, the London Bureau Chief for Breitbart. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I wanted to ask you, I want to talk about what's going on in Europe regarding the protesters, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protesters. Which came first, the American protesters or Europe? I mean, who is it? And is it, do you think, the same entity that's fueling both of them with money and signage and all of that that we learned about from the New York City press conference yesterday?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been protests going on since October the 7th, like even before Israel did any sort of response over the Hamas terror attacks. But as you note, we've seen in the United States at Columbia and Harvard with student activists blockading campuses and entrances to buildings. That actually came first. And now we're seeing the same sort of thing happen all across France right now.
Mm-hmm. At universities in particular?
Yeah. Last week we saw them blockade the Sciences Po Research University in Paris, which is one of the most prestigious universities in the country. And the same thing happened this week at the Sorbonne. And just yesterday, we've seen it spread throughout the whole country. And it's certainly being fueled by the far left in France.
Mm-hmm.
We have the La France Insoumise, which is like the socialist wing of the French Parliament. We've seen politicians going out and joining these students and totally backing the whole thing.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, we've seen the leader of that party in the National Assembly face questioning from the police for making apologies for terrorism. So it's pretty wild scenes over there.
You know, there's a couple of things that I kind of think about, and I'm wondering if you thought about this, Kurt, or you have a theory on this. Why does it seem, we know that there are outside agitators and funders and signage and training going on about how to act and how to, you know, giving them the tools to break the windows and all that, or we get all that. Why are they choosing universities, you think?
I think this is, right now, this is a student-led effort. I think they're, As in the United States on college campuses, the same thing, if not more, could be said of French universities, is that it's a breeding ground for radicalism.
We saw Black Lives Matter in the streets and in the cities, and we saw all that, you know? I'm just wondering why it seems to be contained on, are they feeling like this is where they can get protection? And I'm just wondering, why are they threatening the universities? I mean, this is the hand that fed them. I don't understand why they're biting that one.
Well, it certainly grabs headlines, and yes, that like we can see them definitely getting softer treatment, I think, because they're dealing with college administrators
mm-hmm.
who are pretty much on their side, in my opinion.
Yeah. Seems that way. And the other thing that I found surprising that I haven't seen any imagery of swastikas, not that I want to, but I was just wondering because they are, you know, saying go back to Poland. They're making all these anti-Semitic slurs and references, but yet I haven't seen the swastika show up just yet. I just found that to be interesting.
Actually, we have seen that quite a bit. Particularly in a pro-Palestinian protest in London. We've seen that a bunch of times.
Huh.
Specifically, we've seen several instances of like signs where they're sort of taking the Israel flag and the Star of David and shifting mm-hmm. it into a Nazi swastika.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
I haven't seen that
in Europe.
I don't know. I just found that to be interesting because they're so anti-Jewish. I mean, it's one thing to be against the Israeli government for, you know, fighting back. I mean, but it's another thing to be anti-Jewish completely, you know?
Well, I think the far left has always had a problem with anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that in Britain with Jeremy Corbyn, the socialist leader, a few years ago, who basically got kicked out of office because so many of his socialist acolytes were found to be openly anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a correlation between the idea that Jewish people are successful and then therefore that goes against their socialist ideology. So it sort of dovetails in that manner.
Okay. We're speaking with Kurt Sindulka. He's the London Bureau Chief for Breitbart. Something interesting happened. We have talked about this before, about the hate speech censorship law in Scotland. What is the latest on that?
Well, yeah. So you're right, Liz. We did talk about that. Scotland introduced one of the strictest censorship laws last month at the beginning of April. It was headed up by Scottish First Minister Humza Yousaf, the leader of the far-left Scottish National Party, which basically is one of the most woke parties in Europe and seeks to break away Scotland from the United Kingdom and join the EU. But he introduced this law, it's called Hate Crime and Public Order Act, where anyone who's stirring up hatred, this vaguely worded term, against several different protected classes, like racial minorities, the disabled, the elderly, and notably the so-called LGBT community, could face up to 7 years in prison, even if they said something behind closed doors in their own home, if someone reports them to the police, and they didn't even have to necessarily intend to stir up hatred. It could have just been like taken out of context. It doesn't matter under the law. And it's just been pure chaos with the Scottish police being completely overwhelmed with reports, like by orders of magnitude of what they normally have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
When Scotland's dealing with a lot of actual crimes, it's got one of the biggest drug problems in Europe.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people don't recognize that.
No.
But yeah, so it's been complete chaos for Yousaf, who's the first Muslim leader of any British country, and he's been forced to resign after this law was enacted. So he resigned on Monday in a wild turn of events. Ironically, it was actually the transgender issue that sort of did him in. The Scottish National Party, Yousaf's party, is governing from a minority position in the Scottish Parliament. So that means they had to partner up with the even more radical Green Party. And there was this report, this government-sponsored report called the CAS Report on transgender issues for children, studying how Britain has been treating children over the past couple decades, which has basically argued that there was no good evidence that children should be put on puberty blockers and put all this kind of stuff. And so the Greens were freaking out about this. They're saying, no, we need to keep transing the kids. And Yousaf actually was going along with the CAS report. And so the coalition broke apart. And before he could be kicked out of office from a vote of no confidence, he resigned on Monday.
Wow. So what does this mean, though?
It's
it kind of like came back to bite him, I guess? And
big time. And ironically, it's the same thing that happened to his former boss, who he took over for last year, Nicola Sturgeon, who famously was stumped in an interview last year after a male prison, male rapist was sent to a female prison in Scotland. And she couldn't say whether or not he was a woman or not, and she was kicked out. So the trans thing sort of seems to be the Achilles heel for these leftists in Scotland,
especially if they're Muslim, because I don't think that a transgender ideology would ever fly in any Muslim country.
Yeah. Well, I don't think a lot of his positions exactly jive with Muslim ideology. Mm-hmm. I sort of think it's a similar situation to Biden's supposed Catholic faith, where most Catholics would think abortion is a sin and abominable, but Biden goes along with it anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Some other stuff that I wanted to bring up, and what you can do is you can go to Breitbart.com and type in Kurt Zindulka's name in the search window, and you see all these amazing articles. So I want to ask you about some other things. The UK's National Health Service Constitution. Tell us about this new declaration that sex is biological, just to stay on the same topic here. Why were they declaring this publicly? And what fallout is from that? And why did they do it? Like, you know, is it a money thing?
Okay, so yeah, you're right, Liz. The National Health Service in England, which is the socialized healthcare system in the UK, every 10 years they need to update their constitution, and that's coming up next year. So the government gets to inform what changes are made, and actually they're going to have a public consultation, which should be interesting. They'll take suggestions from the public. But one of the main things, you're right, is that they are going to declare that sex is biological, which is going to have some pretty interesting ramifications. Because what we've seen in NHS hospitals, which is, again, like any other government institution, a breeding ground for progressivism and leftist thought, we've seen women being forced to share the same wards as so-called transgender women who are actually biological males, been forced to have doctors who are transgender inspect them. And so what this is going to do is going to give the right to women to refuse to be in the same hospital room or as a transgender biological male or be inspected by doctors. And it's also going to, we reportedly see, is that they're going to scrap terms, all these woke terms that have infected the health service over there, like chest feeding and stuff like that. So, it's a pretty big turn. And it comes after the NHS in March declaring that they're no longer going to be prescribing puberty blockers for children. And what I think is happening is we're seeing a pretty big U-turn all across Europe. I mean, we're seeing restrictions on transgender so-called medicine for children in places like Denmark, Finland, Sweden, the UK now. And these are all very left-wing countries, generally speaking.
And what is driving that pushback?
Growing resolution.
Because we need to find that.
acknowledgement that this is dangerous stuff, and a lot of it's built on, as the UK report found, very shaky evidence, that there's not really good evidence that any of this stuff actually helps children.
You know, I mean, it's obvious. I don't have to be a medical, you know, expert to say that. So I'm wondering why... because it's socialized medicine, I feel that they would do things that would save them money. That's how I think about it. So there has to be a money angle. So I'm wondering if they using these puberty blockers was actually costing them more money in the long run. Was it because people were trying to transition back? Like how I just wonder why they would do this about face, because they're most definitely going to get a lot of criticism on this.
Well, I think you're right about the money angle. There's certainly some of that at play. What we've seen, your listeners might be aware, Liz, of the infamous Tavistock Center in London, which is being forced to shut down over malpractice against children with this transgender stuff. And we're going to be seeing a lot of lawsuits coming directed at the National Health Service from the parents and the children that were involved in this stuff. I mean, you know,
because it's also medication.
It's like children mutilated eventually, you know?
Yeah. And also in America, they're pushing this because it would be the insurance companies or the military paying for this endless supply of puberty blockers and hormone replacement and all of that hormone therapy for life in order for you to stay the opposite sex, right?
Right.
But in the UK, hey, wait a minute. This is a lifelong bill now we have to pay. That's probably going to bankrupt them if they have to keep paying for all sorts of hormone therapies.
Yeah, I mean, the NHS is basically always strapped for cash regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you certainly have a point there.
Yeah.
But I think just generally speaking, what we're seeing in Europe, I think, will start to bleed into the United States. It may take a little while, but having all of these left-wing governments in Europe basically declaring that this is no good and we need to stop this. I mean, there was just a French report commissioned by the French senators saying that it's one of the greatest ethical scandals in medical history.
Wow.
And I think there's a sea change happening, and it may take a little while to bleed over to the United States, but I think it's certainly going to happen.
There's too many people making money on transgenderism over here, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I mean, just like, you know, there's a lot of talk, and why is America allowing all this poisonous foods and drinks and chemicals and drinks and foods? Why is the government allow that in our food supply? And those foods or those ingredients in those foods are not allowed in, you know, the EU, and it's obvious. It's because these make us sick and cause us to take medication.
I think there's certainly some truth to that.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to add, Kurt?
I think just jumping back to Scotland for a second, it should be interesting. Today, we're going to see a vote of no confidence in the government, even though Hamza Youssef he announced his resignation. He's staying on as a caretaker leader for the Scottish National Party. And then the Labour Party is going to be launching a vote of no confidence, which could bring down the whole government. And it's going to be a pretty interesting situation because the Scottish Parliament is only 25 years old. It was created under the Blair government to try to, like, push some power up to Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland at the time. But yeah, so there's not a whole lot of precedent, so it could be some pretty interesting political wrangling. And we're going to have to see if the Scottish National Party can actually convince the Greens to come back on side. Like I said, they're governing from a minority position. So the drama in Scotland is certainly going to be continuing. So you can pay attention on Breitbart.com for the latest.
All right, Kurt Zindulka, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Liz.